My God, my God. Why have you abandoned me? 22. That Jesus called out when he was hanging on the cross. This Easter day, before we go to world's history's most bright day, we'll go to world history's most dark day, to Good Friday when Jesus died. It was not the darkest day, because that it literally the country was under darkness during 3 hours, but it was the darkest day because Jesus, the Son of God, Father Son, who had come human, justly were condemned to death. His enemies gathered against him like wild animals wanted to rip him to pieces. They taunted and humiliated and made fun of him. But Jesus, the Messiah, willingly went to the cross, where he willingly were punished and died for our sins. There on the cross, God the Father poured his wrath, his punishment that would have been poured on us over his beloved Son. The famous prophecy of Jesus' suffering and death in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3-5 say he was despised and abandoned by humans, a man of sorrows, and was like one that you hide your face from, so despised that we didn't respect him. But it was our illness he bought, he bore, our pains he took on himself, while we saw him as cursed. He was pierced for our transgressions, beaten for our sins. The punishment were put on him, so that we would have peace through his wounds. We are healed. The sinless, the perfect one, steps into the place of sinners. And when Jesus hangs on the cross in all darkness, he's thinking of Psalm 22, which is a psalm of lament, which is about the innocents suffering. This was a psalm that David wrote when he himself faced unjust suffering. But this psalm, it points beyond David to the greater and better David. Jesus, who is the one who, above everyone else, is suffering unjustly. When David wrote this psalm, he used a poetic language which speaks beyond himself and is fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus. David is desperate. His salvation feels like if it is far, far away. It feels like there is no help. It feels like as if God isn't answering his prayer. And in this psalm, so despite his own suffering, he speaks beyond himself about the sufferings of the Messiah. When we read the New Testament, we see how part after part of the psalm gets its fulfillment in Jesus. How Jesus from verse 2 says, my God, why have you abandoned me? In Matthew 27, 4-6. And how everyone who looks on him taunts him in verse 8, which Matthew 27, 39 speaks about. And how you mockingly say in verse 9, um, in John 19:28 refers back to when Jesus were bursting, that this fulfills what Psalm 22:15 says, and John 19:23-24 when the soldiers were sharing their Jesus' clothes between themselves, it fulfills Psalm 22:18. And the central theme in Psalm 22:15-16, it describes in detail what happens during the crucifixion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. This is what David felt. That's what got its literal fulfillment in Jesus on the cross. Can you feel with Jesus when he thought of this psalm on the cross? What a darkness, what a misery. But it can seem like the powers of darkness have won. Psalm 22:2-3 says, my God, why have you abandoned me? By day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. What does this have to do with Easter Day to do? What does darkness and misery to do with a day like this when we should be happy? Because we need to feel the misery and darkness to understand the light, the hope, and the joy. And in this psalm, something incredible happening in the end of verse 22. If you have a Bible on other languages, it might be in verse 23. But in Swedish, it's in verse 22. Of the darkness, pain, suffering, and death. So everything is changed with in Hebrew in only one word in the end of the verse, which in my Swedish Bible is translated with you hear my prayers. Literally, it means you have answered me. And after this, everything is changed. From suffering, lament, and darkness to indescribable joy and worship. What has happened with only one word? On the cross, Jesus takes his last breath, and his disciples feel their hopelessness. But dear friends, this is not the end. What it seemed like God the Father hasn't answered David's and Jesus' prayers on Jesus' prayer on the cross from this on. He actually does this. The difference is what's the difference? No? Let's go home. What's the difference? The resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is not dead, he is alive. God has answered me. After long Good Friday, the day, Easter Day, God the Father is not saving Jesus from death, but out of death. He has answered David and the greater David, Jesus' prayer. Jesus is certainly resurrected, and that's what makes the whole difference. It was this that the apostles were emphasizing in their teaching after the day of Pentecost, and this is what is doing all the difference in our lives. Let us now read from the psalmist's response to the answer of prayer. 1, 2, 1. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised and abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Our kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim the righteousness to the people yet unborn, that he has done it. Lord, we thank you for this amazing text that you have given us in your word. We pray that you would work in our hearts, make your word alive, and help us to respond in joyful worship for what you have done. Amen. From this text, I want just to notice three things. The first thing is the proclamation. We see it in the beginning and the end, this section. In David, who wrote the psalm, a change has happened, where God has answered his prayer, where he has gotten to experience how God saves, and he's rejoicing. He wants to tell it to everyone who follows the Lord. In verse 23, he says, verses quoted in Hebrews 2:12, where it's applied to the resurrected Jesus, who has defeated death and the devil. Here Jesus is proclaiming God's name, which speaks about his salvation, and he is encouraging his brothers, the believers, to worship God. Why? Well, in verse 24, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his praise from him, but has heard when he cried to him. Remember how David and Jesus called out, "My God, we see here how he has answered the prayer." And also in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, refers to this verse on in how God the Father listened to Jesus and saved him from death when he resurrected him from the dead. In the end of the psalm, this will be proclaimed for the coming ages and for the peoples that will be born. And the reason for this is that he has done it. God has saved Jesus from the dead. And the psalmist and Jesus invites people to worship God for his salvation. God has listened and answered the prayer, and the psalmist cannot do anything but to want to tell everyone about this wonderful truth and invite others to worship God the Father together with him. We have noticed to the message what is the other thing, the result. Yes, how the message is spreading and that humans get eternal life. And this is what we see through the Bible and church history. God's powerful, about God's hand, powerful acting and how he rescued his people in the Old Testament. This message has been spread through those who were saved. And that they have told God's people and invited them to be part and praise God for his powerful actions. This is also the case with God's wonderful salvation through Jesus. The message was spread first to ones who already had a faith in God, who were invited to worship. Then if you throw a stone in the water, there ring circles in the water. So as circles in the water in verses 27 to 32, it's spread to some people? No. To all people and all kinds of humans and coming ages. The invitation in verse 27. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the ends of the earth and all the people shall remember what God has done and turn to the Lord. This is fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham, that through his offspring, Jesus, that Aski read in Revelation 5:9. Look at what is the central thing of the text. The response, which is worship. The whole Bible text just yells this, calls it out. At least 12 times in these 10 verses, words that relate to worship are used. Psalmist proclaiming worshiping and invites everyone who follows God, all the peoples of God, to unite with him in joyful worship. God has answered his prayer. He has saved him. God the Father has answered Jesus' prayer. Jesus is resurrected. He is alive. And the tomb is empty. He is resurrected. He is alive. And we have ourselves met him. Jesus, our Savior, has given us eternal life. He had victory over death. Jesus has made everything new. He was dead. He is alive. He won an eternal victory. and the song spread like circles on the water from the people of Israel to all the people and all types of people and future generations. One day we will stand there before the throne and bend our knees and rejoice over God's salvation like a feast. They will eat and be satisfied and worship. God the Father hasn't answered God Jesus' prayer. If he hasn't been resurrected, then this sermon and our faith is pointless. Then we as Christians are here as false witnesses, and is, as Paul says, the most pitiful, miserable humans who has just bought a lie. But dear friends, I'm convinced that Jesus' prayer has been saved, has been answered. He's alive, and he's changed my and our lives. We are witnesses of this. Through his death, we have had our sins forgiven. Through his resurrection, we know that we also will resurrect to a indescribable joy with him. We have hope, meaning, and a purpose with our lives. It's as we last week sang, "My Jesus is alive, therefore I want to live. My Jesus is alive, therefore I am secure. I surely know that he will guide me. My life is worth living because he loves me." We have hope, purpose, and a purpose with our life, which is to glorify God and to rejoice in him for all eternity. If you don't know the resurrected Jesus, there is nothing better, nothing more wonderful than him, who has loved us so much that he went to death to save everyone who in faith and worship bow before him. This is what our lives are about, to rejoice and to worship our amazing King and Savior, and to invite others to the eternal worship. So let us now do this together by singing. To sing about the resurrected Jesus. Amen.